Now time to start our Sunday morning worship service. We want to take the time to welcome each one that's here. We're certainly glad to have this number. We have a lot of sickness and a lot of people that's out and been out for some time, some of them. It's good to see some visitors with us. It's good to have Trent and Todd with us today and Flo's sisters. And also, if there's anything Todd or anything you said this morning that you don't understand, or we certainly would like to talk to you about those things before you leave this morning. We would also like, if you have cell phones, that you silence those at this time so they don't disturb the worship service. I show the order service this morning. Brother Mel Farmall will be leading our song service, and he selected 369 for the first song. And our opening prayer will be worded by Brother Bay Steele. And Keith will be bringing a lesson this morning. Tommy Shirley will be heading the Lord's table. I show Jeannie Sims, myself, and Bobby Bishop and Mel Farmwall helping with that. And Brother Ron Leisure will lead our closing prayer. Those sick that I have down is Bitsy. She's at home. And Donnie Pinkston, he had surgery Thursday, kidney stone. So he's home, not able to be with us today. It's good to see Levine out and Nellie Baker with us today. Betty Goodlett, remember Betty Goodlett. She's going through some tough times and probably they're probably looking for a place where she can stay and have care too at the same time. And people don't have to be with her at her house continually. Brother Dwayne Hall's got a bug in the back problem, so he's not with us this morning. Stanley Tatum, he just left a few minutes ago, not feeling well. So we've got quite a few people that are out sick and not able to be with us, and we've got our shut-ins that we want to always remember that's not been with us for some time. So remember those people. And I think Keith, like this morning, he announced this morning, but Sister Isla Cole passed away in her sleep sometime between Friday night and Saturday morning. She'll be at Stroll's funeral home in Tompkinsville, and that's where her service will be. My understanding is the visitation is like 10, and services is at 1 our time. It's 2 there, I think. And that's in Monroe County. got a number of people that's out of town traveling, vacations, or just away from us. Bruce and Lou and Jack and Carol Ann. We're supposed to be on a cruise. It's good to see Mel back. He went up to check on his mom, and she's doing about the same, not doing real well. So remember Mel's mom in your prayers. Leslie and Jason, they're going to Gatlinburg this weekend. Marcella Moore, just remember her during her sister's funeral and her traveling back and forth. She's with her brother there now planning out the service and all that. Sandy Wade is gone to see her mother again this weekend, so remember Sandy. Bill and Patty are traveling, Relaford, and Michelle was supposed to be in Lawrenceburg worshiping this morning, so she's not with us either. I'd like to remind Group 2 that you have a meeting tonight after services. That's the Keith's group. The building cleaning, I show Greer's and Sims for this week. Wednesday night's invitation is Jeannie Sims. Gospel meetings, there's one in Aetna, 17th through the 22nd, with Dale Robbins. And is there any other announcements that need to be made that anyone has? If not, then we'll pause just a moment to get quiet, and then we'll start the worship service.
Please take your songbooks and turn to song number 396. 396 will be our first song this morning.
Oh, land of rest for the eyesight, when will the moment come? When
song number 68, number 68. We'll have our opening prayer after we sing this song. Song number 68.
Lord, we come before Thee now, at Thy feet we humbly bow. Oh, do not our soon disdain, shall we seek Thee, Lord, in vain? Lord, on Thee our souls depend, in compassion now descend. Fill our hearts with Thy rich grace, turn our lips to sing Thy praise. Grant that all may sing and find Thee, God, supremely kind. Heal the sick, the captive free. Let us all rejoice.
I'll pause and we'll go to our Heavenly Father in prayer.
Our Father, in these thankful and grateful unto Thee, Father, for sparing of our lives to this time that we can come together and study another portion of Thy holy will, worship Thee with praise and spirit and in truth. Our Father, we would ask that Thou would be with us this day and help us, Father, that we might do that very thing, to worship Thee in spirit and truth, and that it might be acceptable to Thee this day. Our Father, we would pray for those who mentioned that are sick, those that have lost loved ones. We pray, Father, Thou would be with them. Thou would comfort them, and they look into Thy Word and gain strength and comfort from it. We pray, Father, that Thou would look down upon us with great and tender mercy and forgive us of our sins, for we know and realize, Father, that we sin against Thee. We'd ask Thou forgiveness this day, God, that we might stand pure and justified in Thy sight this day. Pray, Father, that Thou would be with us throughout the further exercise of this day and on down this pathway of life. Be with us always, Father, for we ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen. Mark your song books to song number 277. 277 will be the invitation song following Keith's lesson this morning. 277. Song before the lesson will be song number 374. If it's convenient, let's all stand as we sing this song. 374.
There's a message true and glad for the sinful and the sad. Bring it out. It will give them courage to, it will help them to be true. Bring it out, bring it out,
bring out the word for land and sea. Still far from Jesus, many live. And ring out the news that lives. Tell the world of saving grace, make it known in every place. Bring it on, bring it on. Help the needy ones to know Him from whom the blessings flow. Bring it on, bring it on, bring it on. Still far from Jesus, many live in sin, and now bring out the news that makes men free to all the lost of sin and doubt to sweep away till shall come the better day. Bring it out, bring it out, till the sinful world be won for Jehovah's mighty Son. Bring it out, bring it out, bring it out. Still far from Jesus, many live in sin. Now bring out the news that makes men free to all the lost of every nation.
Be seated, please.
Tell what those people are going to do. Friday evening, me and Brother Mike Estes went to Louisville to listen to a discussion why there are divisions in the Lord's churches. It was a very good discussion, and it really centered around the main things, issues that have brought division among us as the people of God for probably in the last 40 years. They centered around three main things. One was the institutions of men. That subject caused a problem. And then the sponsoring church arrangement, that caused a problem in the 50s and 60s. And then in the 70s through the 90s and up until the present day, we have the after effects and the shocks of the social gospel. And those three areas have caused great adversity even in among the bodies of Christ, but not only us, but within the religious world in general. If you notice, as I mentioned in our Bible class, in the radio program for the next couple of months, I'm going to be dealing with and why we believe that's what, because we are misrepresented. That we're not, people don't correctly represent what we believe and why we believe it. But even among us, we need to be honest that there is a rift that is happening, and it is happening because of the influence of the religions and the churches around us. And if we think that those things don't have an effect upon the people of God, then we're not really being realistic. And so there has been a discussion that maybe you have not heard, but has been heard by me over the last 3 years, asking the question, is the Church of Christ a denomination? And I want to talk about that question this evening and this morning.
I want to ask the question, has the church become a denomination? Is the Lord's church a denomination? Many people that you would talk about in the world would tell you yes. We are nothing more than one religion, as some people have said, one religion among many. Now, to begin our discussion this morning, I want you to know that there are principles and reasons why certain people have left denominationalism. I don't know how many of you, some of you that are older, there was a tract that was put out some years ago called Why I Left the Christian Church. And it was written by a man named Floyd Decker. And he wrote a very good tract in giving the reasons why, as a member of the Christian church, he could no longer participate in that, because he studied himself with the Bible that there were some things that were not right. And I want to share some of that article with you, because I think it will help set a foundation on why the differences exist. Number one, why I left the Christian church. The Christian church has women counselors, director and lecturers, and the Church of Christ does not. Why do we not have those things? Because in 1 Timothy 2, verse 11, it says that a woman is not to usurp authority over the man. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 34, it says that a woman is to keep silent in the church. Now, that doesn't mean she doesn't have a mind. It doesn't mean she's not a person. It doesn't mean that she does not have intelligence. It means she has a different role. That's all that it means. And those things exist in the Christian church. And he noticed that they did not exist in the Lord's church. And he understood by studying the Bible that they shouldn't exist. He goes on to say, the Christian church has educational directors, associate ministers, and youth directors. The Church of Christ has elders, deacons, and evangelists, and teachers. And that is because Ephesians chapter 4 gives us the different places or the different parts of the Lord's church, and they are evangelists, they are elders, they are deacons, and they are teachers. We don't read anything about associate ministers, we don't read anything about youth directors, and we don't read anything about educational directors. Those things are secular, and those secular things are not part of the Lord's church as it is depicted in the Scripture. The Christian church has missionary and benevolent and educational organizations to execute the work of the church. The church does not. We believe that the church is all sufficient to do everything that God created it to do. We believe it can carry out the three works that God gave the church to do. That is evangelism. We are to send out the word. We are to spread the message of truth. Number two, we are to edify the body. We are to edify and build ourselves up in the understanding of truth. Number three, we are to take care of our own. We are to do needy benevolence among saints. In the Scripture, there are 9 examples of money being taken out of the Lord's treasury to help those who are in need, and in all 9 cases, they are the saints. They are not, there's never an example where the treasury was used to help the social needs of society. There is no example of that in the Scriptures, and so we must oppose that. This Brother Decker went on to say, the Christian church celebrates days of heathen worship, such as Easter, Mother's Day, Christmas. The Church of Christ does not. Now, you will pay close attention to next month. And next month is a religious month for many of the worlds of religion. Right across the street up on the hill, this year they're going to have, if they change anything that they've had in the last 2 years, they're going to have a live major scene with live animals. And they're going to have hot chocolate and hot cider. And they're going to have a birthday cake for Jesus. And we can all come and take a piece of the cake celebrating Jesus' birthday. Now, none of us deny that Jesus was born. The Bible is very clear that he was born. The Bible claims that he was born in the way that all of us were born, except one very vital thing. There was not a man that had any part in the birth of Jesus Christ. Mary was a virgin. She was overshadowed by the Holy Spirit, and he was born of a woman. The Matthew's account, Luke's account, and Mark's account all stipulate that, and the Bible in the Old Testament prophecy prophesied that. The issue is not whether or not Jesus has a birthday. We understand that he does. We have no scripture that we are to celebrate it, that it is a religious holiday, that it is a special day. Matter of fact, if you would do some research into the birth of Jesus Christ, you would find out that it was a birth that was chosen by a council of men between three dates, March 18th, June 25th, and December 25th. Because at the time, it was being celebrated by different dates by different places. And so the Roman Catholic Church, in one of its conveyed together a council, and they chose the date of March 25th. But if you would do a little research into the Bible explanation of the birth of Christ, you would find that the shepherds were not in the field. They were in the fields. Brethren, if the shepherds were in the fields, it could not have been done December 25th. Because December 25th is in the winter. And in the winter, the shepherds are not in the fields because the sheep are not in the field. And so that gives us pause that December 25th is not an actual date. Matter of fact, the date that probably would have been closer would have been March 25th. That would have been closer because that would have been the spring. But be that as it may, it really doesn't matter because the Bible doesn't tell us what day. It doesn't tell us what day. And we just can't arbitrarily pick out a day and say we're going to dedicate that day as a day unto the Lord. Same way with his resurrection. Was he resurrected on a Sunday? Absolutely. The Bible says in Matthew 28, he was resurrected on the first day of the week. Which one? And by the way, Easter doesn't always come on the same date. It varies every year according to the calendar. And so every year they celebrate Easter at a different time according to the calendar, brethren. All we're saying is we have no authority to celebrate that as a religious holiday. Now, if you want to have ham that day, and you want to have your family, and you want to have an Easter egg hunt with your grandkids, and you want to give chocolate Easter bunnies to each other, and I like chocolate Easter bunnies, you know what? I don't have a problem. But if you want to make it a religious holiday and say that if we don't do it, that shows that we don't believe in the resurrection of Christ, that's a misrepresentation. We don't believe it's a holy day because it's not authorized in the New Testament. If it is, we would ask for you to please provide the verse. The Christian church has fellowship in various denominations in their activities, leaving the impression that all brethren are part of that, and we, the Church of Christ, do not. Now, when I was at this meeting on Friday night, then one of the things that came up were the fellowship halls. Now, what are the fellowship halls? What exactly are those things? Those are things that brethren build in order to have fellowship in a common way in eating and having and sharing time together. Now, is it wrong to have time together? No, you know what? That's a good thing. It's a good thing to spend time together. And, you know, we do that here. You know, Dwayne and Drew Hall have been real good in the holidays, opening up their home. And we get together. That's a good thing. Nothing wrong with that. But brethren, to give the church the bill, that's what makes it wrong. It's not the work of the church. It's the work of the individual. And by the way, we pointed out Friday night, and I want to point out to you, that word fellowship, if you look it up in the New Testament, it is never, underline this, it is never used in a way of depicting sharing a meal together. The word fellowship, as it's used in the New Testament, is always in a spiritual sense, never in a physical sense. Now, brethren, we're not trying to be prudish, and we're not trying to split hairs. We're just trying to follow the Bible pattern. Where's the authority to eat? Now, you know what people say the issue is? Well, the Church of Christ thinks you can't eat in the building. I eat in this building every day. In my office. I eat lunch every day. Now, do I think it's a sin to eat in the building? That's not the issue. We have a work day. And we're here all day and we go outside under the carport out there and we have lunch. The building's not sacred. We're not saying the building's sacred. Here's the point. The point is, can you take money out of the Lord's treasury and build another building that is secondly for secular things and call it fellowship and say that's the work of the church? No, because there's no Bible pattern to do that. Now, does that mean we're against eating together? No. Does that mean that we don't like one another's company? No. Does that mean we don't like food? Take a look around. We like food. That's not the issue. The issue is it a work of the church? And the Bible doesn't give us any indication that it is. The Christian church seeks to get crowds with youth meeting, campaign for Christ, rally, drive, and promotions. The Church of Christ does not. Brethren, we don't have a youth director. You know how many phone calls I get during the year wanting to speak to the youth director? We don't have a youth director. Oh, you don't have any children? No. That's not what I said. So we don't have a youth director. We don't have a music director. We don't have an education director. We don't have any kind of director. Why? Because we're not set up in that way. Why? Because that's not the pattern of the Lord's church. We don't have youth meetings. We don't have youth rallies. We don't have car washes. When I was in West Virginia a number of years ago, I was holding a meeting and we were going somewhere on Saturday. And in the middle of the road, there was a young lady in a bathing suit that left nothing to be desired, and she was holding up a sign. You know what it said? It said, Church of Christ Car Wash. First thing I wanted to do, I wanted to go over and see if the preacher was there. And I want to ask if you ever read anything about immodest apparel. The second thing I wanted to know is, where in the Bible can you show me that we can use secular activities in order to bring money into the church? Now, brother, can we raise more money if we had car washes, bake sales, raffles, if we had clothing drives? And this time of year, the big thing is Christmas bazaars. You know, we got a lot of talented ladies here. Why don't we get, you know, you got stuff in your house you want to get rid of? Why don't we have a big rummage sale? And we'll take all the proceeds and we'll send it to the Philippines. And do it under disguise of a work of the church. You can't do that. Why? Because it's not the work of the church. The work of the church is evangelism, edification, and benevolence to needy saints. Where does that fit in there? Doesn't fit in there. That's why we don't do it. Now again, these are man-made ideals that have been incorporated into the Lord's church as if because it's done for the Lord, that justifies it. You know what that's called? That's called the ends justifying the means. But brethren, that's not God's way. Let me ask you something. If the church belongs to the Lord, if it wears His name, if He bought it with His blood, if He organized it, if He designed it, if He purposed it before the world began, if He gave it a work to do, then how do we violate that and then claim to love God? You can't. And so that's why we are different. You know, I had a person tell me not long ago, he goes, "You people just want to be different." No, we don't want to be different. We want to be faithful to God's pattern. That's what we want. We want to be faithful to the pattern. The Christian church emphasizes society and the physical man by appealing to carnal nature. Church carnivals, bands, plays, choruses, dramatics, church kitchens, church camps, and elaborate fellowship halls. The Church of Christ does not. When I was in Las Vegas, there was a Church of Christ that had gymnastics for Christ on Sunday morning. They were doing cartwheels down the middle of the aisle on Sunday morning. They also had a Monte Carlo night. That's what we're going to gamble. And we're going to take the proceeds and we're going to put it into the Lord's treasury. Bingo. That's a big money maker for the Roman Catholic Church. Did you know that? We're going to gamble in order to bring money into the coffin. Brethren, that's not God's way. They have been. In Texas, there was a church, a very large church, that started to do drama skits instead of preaching. And the preacher got up and apologized for ever thinking that preaching could reach the lost. Brethren, what are we thinking? We don't have plays. We're not going to have a Christmas play. We're not going to put a Christmas tree in the vestibule out there. We're not going to do that. Why? Because that's not the work of the church. Now, does that make us different? Yes, it makes us different. But if we're not different because we're trying to be different. We're different because we're trying to follow God's pattern. The Christian church misuses the name Christian, which is a noun, by speaking of Christian nation, Christian schools, and Christian church. The Church of Christ does not. Brethren, this is not a Christian nation. Never, it never was a Christian nation. Never is going to be a Christian nation. This nation, we don't have Christian schools. Florida College isn't a Christian school. Abilene is not a Christian school. Fried Hardeman is not a Christian college. Pepperdine is not a Christian college. That's an incorrect word. That's an incorrect use of the word. Abilene Christian University, ACU. That is the church in the secular education business? The answer to that's no. We're not into education. That's not what the Lord died for on the cross. So you can get a 4-year degree and you can be, is now, are we against education? No. Education is a secular work. The church has no business in it. We don't have a Christian school. There's a Christian academy down in Danville on 33. You can send your kids there. It's a school that is funded and directed by the Christian church. Brethren, we have no authority to do that. We don't have the authority to do that, and that's why we don't have one. The Christian church misuses that word, and that's why he left it. Another thing, the Christian church elevates preachers by using titles as pastor, superintendent, doctor, and president. But the Church of Christ does not. I don't have a title. I don't want a title because God didn't authorize me one. I'm a preacher. I'm a minister. I'm an evangelist. I'm not a doctor. I have a degree. I have a degree. I don't want to be called doctor. I have a degree. I took 3 years of Bible. That doesn't make me a doctor. That doesn't make me more important than you. We don't have a preacher laity system. We don't have the clergy and laity. I'm the clergy and the pastor system, and that's what the next slide talks about. The pastor system. What's the pastor system? The pastor system is that the preacher is the organizer, the director, and the one that does the work, and he leads it, and he's the one God gave to direct the spiritual work of the church. We have no pastoring system. You know how difficult this is to get people in the world to understand? I go through this with every funeral director I've ever been involved with except Jeannie Sims. But I've been through this where I sit and you say, well, pastor, I said, let's get something straight here. You don't have to call me pastor. Call me Keith, call me minister. Okay, I'm sorry, father. I said, no. No, you don't got to do that either. Well, you like reverend? No, don't ever do that. No. Well, is it most reverend? No. It's just Keith. Just call me Keith. Just call me Keith. I'm just Keith Greer. That's what I want you to call me. Well, just call me minister. That's fine. Okay, pastor, I'll do that. And that's how the conversation goes. Brethren, they don't understand. But brethren, let me add one thing here. The Lord's church doesn't understand either. Because although we preach that there is no pastoring system, sometimes we make our preacher a pastor by regulating all the spiritual work to him. That's the pastor system. That won't work because God did not authorize that. What is a pastor? A pastor is an elder. It's an overseer. It's a presbyter. It's a bishop. It's a shepherd. All those words are the same word. It just gives a different function. Let me give you an illustration. I'm a father. I'm a grandfather. I'm a preacher. I'm a husband. But I'm the same person. But all those names describe a function that I have in my life. Same way with an elder. He's an overseer. He's a shepherd. He's a pastor. He's a bishop. He's a presbyter. Those are all words that mean the same thing. The world has made those different offices. That's not according to Scripture. The Church of Christ, the Christian Church, unscriptural means such as suppers, property rentals, and special collections to raise money for the church. The Church of Christ has members lay by in store on the first day of the week. And you know what? We don't solicit money. You know, if you listen to my radio program, have you ever heard me solicit for any money? You know, I had a lady send me money. And I think the first year I was here, I sent it back to her. I'm not here for your money. We're not here for your money. It's not about soliciting for money. And you know what? We don't have property rentals. Let me give you an illustration. Let me show you the hypocrisy of what I'm talking about. The Roman Catholic Church, and I'll just use that as an example of something I know. The Roman Catholic Church has stocks. And one of their most money-making stocks is Phillips Petroleum and Pharmaceutical Products. What is one of the things that the Roman Catholic Church preaches against? Birth control. What is the number one pharmaceutical provision of Johnson & Johnson? Birth control pills. They own stock and make dividends from something that they teach against in their religion. That's hypocrisy. We're not into church rentals. We're not into property rentals. Both, we're not into making money by secular means. The Christian Church owns and operates publishing houses, radio stations, hospitals, and other benevolent societies. The Church of Christ does not. We don't have any hospitals. We don't have no printing presses or publishing business. We have none of those things. Why? Because they're not authorized. The Christian Church owns and supports, operates schools for secular education. The Church of Christ does not. The Christian Church has a compromising spirit, will not defend its doctrine, has no regard for the authority of the Bible, bases its practice on the silence of the Scriptures, and appeals to tradition rather than the gospel of Christ. Brethren, the reason that we're different than the Christian Church is that we stand on different principles. Now, does that mean everybody in the Christian Church is evil? No. Does that mean that everybody in the Christian Church is a bad person? No. It just means spiritually that they're wrong. Spiritually, they are wrong. We're not against the person. We're against the act. We're against what they do. Our issue is not with them. Our issue is with what they do. What they do is contrary to the Scriptures. And brethren, we must not apologize for what we believe and what we practice. We don't do it because we think that's best. We do that because that's what God commanded us to do. And if we love God, that's what we're going to do. A number of years ago, there was a man named Lynn Anderson. And he made the comment that we were just one big sick denomination. He affirmed that ACU, and that's Abilene Christian University, that the church has become a denomination. Worse, in his opinion, not a very good one. Since then, he has defended his affirmations in several forms of the Wineskin magazine, and that would be better if they never printed it. It's the most liberal paper I've ever read. But anywhere, he believes that we become a denomination. Well, you know what? That's a pretty serious accusation, and I'd want some proof. I'd want you to prove that the Lord's Church has become a denomination. Now, here's what a fellow in LaGrange, Georgia said. Ron Thompson wrote, "It is biblically sustainable that only the Lord's Church will be saved." Now, if you listen to my radio program this morning, that's basically the conclusion that only those that truly belong to the Lord and a part of His spiritual body are the only ones that have a relationship with Christ according to the Scripture. Now, Mr. Overby, Ben Overby, he disagreed with that. Here's what he said. He said, "Let's be clear about what one might think to shed some light on the myth that the Church of Christ and the Lord's Church are synonymous phrases. The Church of Christ is part of the Lord's Church, but only a fraction of the whole. When we claim to be the Lord's Church, it sounds like the exhaust pipe claiming to be the car. It's a myth that the Church of Christ and the Lord's Church are synonymous. That's not a myth. That's a fact. The Lord's Church is the Church of Christ. Why? It belongs to Him. He paid for it with his blood, Acts 20, verse 28. He promised to build it in Matthew 16, 18. And he's the foundation of it, 1 Corinthians 3:11. And if it belongs to the Lord, why wouldn't we call it the Lord's church? Why do we call it the Church of Christ? Because it belongs to him. And so it's this, but this part, that it's only a part of the fraction. The world looks at us as we're part of the Protestant movement in this country. We are a Protestant church. That's how people define us. But that is not the definition that the Lord gives us. Now, let me show you that you can use the term synonymously. Christ and the church. Who's the Savior of the body? Christ. Ephesians 5, verse 23. Who is part of the body? The saved. In Acts 2, verse 47, what did they do on the day of Pentecost after those 3,000 heard the word and believed it and obeyed? Look at the last verse of chapter 2. It says, praising God, having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. The Savior added to the church. What church does he add them to? His church. His church. In Acts 20, verse 28, it says that he purchased the church with his own blood. What else did he purchase with his blood? Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Look at verse number 20. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 20 says, for you were bought with... Read verse 19, too. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? You were bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are of God. What price were we bought with? 1 Peter 1:18, 19 says the blood of Christ. The purchase price for the church was the blood. The purchase price of the saved is the blood of his son. In Galatians 3:13, he says that Christ is our Redeemer. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 and 19, it says, we were redeemed not by corruptible things like silver and gold, but by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. We are the redeemed. And our Redeemer redeemed us. Reconciliation. In Hebrews chapter 2, verse 17, the Bible says that Christ is a minister of reconciliation. Who did he reconcile? In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 18, 2 Corinthians 5, verse number 18. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Who was reconciled? The saved were reconciled. What does reconcile mean? It means to bring beside. Who's the head of the church? Ephesians 1 says Christ is the head of the church. The head of what? The head of his body. Who's in his body? The members. We're all part of that body. He's the head, we're the body. So the Christ is the head of the church, and we're part of his body. The Christ and the church. If he filleth all things, and in Colossians 1 verse 19, the Bible says that he is the fullness of every spiritual blessing. Now, brethren, you know what I'm saying? I'm saying that anything you can say about the Christ, that the church has a parallel part in that. You know, it used to be popular a number of years ago. It said, we need to preach Christ and leave the church alone. How do you do that? How can you preach Christ and not preach the church? How could you preach the church and not preach Christ? How could you do that? They're synonymous. You couldn't do it. Christ is all about the church. He's the head of the church. He's the foundation of the church. He's the builder of the church. He bought the church. How are you going to separate him from the church? You can't. You can't. Now, the word church is used in two ways in the Bible. It's used in a universal sense. I will build my church Now, did he mean the church at Harrodsburg? Or maybe he meant the one I just came from in Norwood. Or maybe he meant that one I preach in Las Vegas. Or maybe he meant the one that you grew up in. No, which church did he build? He built his. That's a universal church. And in Acts 2:47, when it says he added to the church daily those who were being saved, which church did he add them to? His church. Universally. Every one of us in this audience who are members of the church are part of the Lord's church in the universal sense. The universal church is made up of every Christian in the world. It's a part of the universal church. He is also the head of the body of the church. He is the universal head of his church. But you know what? His church doesn't have elders, doesn't have deacons, doesn't have treasury, doesn't have a work. All that's done at the local level. But he's the head of the universal church. You know, 1 Peter 5, verse 4, he's called the chief shepherd. The sheep. Now, what does it mean? He's the shepherd of all the churches. He has all authority. Now, the church is also used in a local sense. Who agreed to join in fellowship. What did Saul do after he was converted? He tried to join himself to the church in Jerusalem. Why did he try to do that? So he could do the work that God gave him to do as a Christian. Who worship in a common assembly. In 1 Corinthians 11, verse 18, the church at Corinth were in a common assembly. Who work out of a common treasury, as we read in 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 3. Who submit to a common oversight. They went to every city and they ordained trial elders in every city. This is the local church at Harrodsburg. If we had elders, they would only have oversight here. You're members of the church universally, but you are a member locally of the Harrodsburg Church of Christ. Where do you do the work that God gave the church to do? You don't do it in the universal church. You do it at the local level. That's why, you know, there are some people who said, well, I'm just a member at large. What does that mean? I'm a member at large. You mean you can just roam from place to place? No, you can't do that. You need to join yourself to a local body in order that you could have fellowship with them and that you could do the work that God gave the church to do. You can't do that as you just wander around all over the country. You've got to be part of a local work. Now, I've talked about the Lord's church. Let's talk for a minute about a denomination. We throw that word around a lot. As a matter of fact, is it a biblical word? No, it's not a biblical word. But it is used as if it is. What is a denomination? A denomination defined by Webster is a religious organization uniting local congregations. Here's the key. Uniting local congregations in a single legal and administrative body. How many of you have ever been asked, where's your headquarters at? I've been asked that hundreds of times. What's my answer to that? Heaven. Oh, we know. That's where everybody knows. That's not where everybody's headquarters is at. When I was in Las Vegas, when you ask a Latter-day Saint, where's your headquarters? Salt Lake City, Utah. If you would ask a Jehovah's Witness, it's where the Bible Watchtower Tract Society is from. That's their headquarters. It's in New York. They have a headquarters. That's what makes a denomination a denomination. They are attached to other churches and they have an administrative body. A group of religious congregations united under a common faith, name and organized under a single administrative and legal hierarchy. Anglican, Presbyterian, Catholics, etc. Now let me just give you a quick thing here. The Baptist Church. There are 15 different sects of Baptist churches. There's Free Will Baptist, there's Southern Baptist, there's Fundamental Baptist, there's Free Will Baptist, and I go on and on. Now, which Baptist affiliate does the Baptist Church belong to? You'd have to ask them. I don't know. But when Let's say the Baptist church here in Harrodsburg needs to build something, and they're running short of funds. They can petition the Baptist hierarchy in order to get more funds. How does the Lord's church do that? Why don't we do that instead of waiting for our billing to pay off? Why don't we just go to our headquarters, and why don't we have them tell them to send us down the money so we can just pay off the small debt we have for the building here? Why don't we just do that? We can't do that because we don't have any such organization. We're not tied to another congregation. You know, there's a congregation down the road at Lawrenceburg. There's one this way over here in Danville. We have Providence. We have Crab Orchard. We're not tied to any of those. Why? Because we're autonomous. Autonomous means self-governing. That means we operate our own decisions by God's word. We're not tied to other organizations. That's what makes us different than the denomination. We're not tied to other organizations, other churches, denominations are. That's what makes us different than them. There are over 1,000 Christian religious organizations in North America alone. And when I mean organizations, I mean the place where the headquarters. There's over 1,000. Each has its own set of beliefs, policies, and practices. When discussing such topics as divinity of Christ, salvation, heaven, etc., it would be hopelessly unwieldy to explain the beliefs of each faith group. Now let me close this morning with this thought. Today, one of the big things that is very popular in our society are what we call community and megachurches. Community and megachurches are people who have agreed to come under one umbrella and not divide over their differences. So, this is how you bring a group of people together. You have Baptists who believe one thing about salvation. You have Jehovah's Witnesses that believe something else. You have Latter-day Saints that believe Joseph Smith was a prophet and believe the Book of Mormon is as much authority as the Bible. You have Lutherans who believe in Martin Luther and believe in the Catechism. And you have the Methodist discipline that believes in the Methodist discipline. And they all unite in one place. Even though they have diverse practices that each of them do not agree with. And they call that unity. That's a joke. There's no unity there. You know what that is? That's unity in diversity. That means we can be divided, and yet we can differ in our beliefs. Now, let me close this morning with an example right here in Harrodsburg. When I first moved to this city, I was asked to become part of the evangelical fellowship ministry that resides in Harrodsburg. Now, what is that? That is where preachers and ministers of different affiliations come together once a month, and we have lunch, and we have a speaker, and then at the end of our time, we gather together and we pray for one another's work. Now, I was asked to be part of that, and I declined to do so. Why? I said, I can't do that. The man that asked me, I said, I can't do that. He said, well, you're the minister over at Harrodsburg, aren't you? I said, yeah. He said, well, why wouldn't you want to be part of this? This is great work. We talk over different things that we do, and we talk about different ways that we reach the public and how we raise money, and we pray for one another. Why wouldn't you want to be a part of all that? Because you know what? I can't pray for somebody to do the devil's work. Can I? Can I pray that Jehovah Witness can go out and proclamate the 1,000-year reign upon the earth, that there's going to be an earthly kingdom in Jerusalem? And can I pray that he can have success in teaching people about that? Can I do that? Can I pray that the Baptist can teach people once they're saved they can't be lost, eternal security? Can I pray that they have success in teaching people that? I can't do that. Why? Because it's error. I can't pray that people can have success in teaching things that people could lose their soul over, can I? No, I can't do that. And I'm going to tell you something else, ladies and gentlemen. You can't do it either. There's no such thing as we're all serving God, we're just taking different roads to get there. That's a fallacy. That's a fallacy. There's only one road that leads to heaven, and it's contained right here. And this is the blueprint and the map that you've got to follow. And if you don't follow this map, you're not going to get there. Now, people say, oh, that's a pretty arrogant statement. Show me one thing here that it would tell me to do that. If I don't do it, then it won't get me to heaven. This is God's roadmap how to get to heaven. And I'm going to stick with this. Because I know it's proven, I know it's true, and I know it's the only thing that's going to get me to where I want to go. And brethren, I don't mean to be arrogant, I don't mean to be haughty, but I'm not going to apologize for believing that God's way is the only way. And that's what I'm telling you this morning. The Church of Christ is not a denomination, because that's not God's way. That's not God's plan. God's plan is that we belong to Him and we follow His pattern in how we do the work, how we worship Him, how we treat one another, how we treat our fellow man, how we treat our wives and our husbands and our children. God regulates every part of our life, and we go to the book to find the answer. If you're here today and you're not a Christian, then you need to look into God's book. You know, some people would tell you, well, all you need to do is you just need to believe in God and you can be saved. Just say the sinner's prayer. If you're here and you're a member of a denomination or a man-made church, and you said the sinner's prayer and you believe you're a member of the church, I challenge you today to go in the Bible and find that sinner's prayer. Go in there and find the words of the sinner's prayer and show me one person that was saved in that manner. You won't find it, because it's not in there. And there's not one person that was saved in such a manner. When I read the Bible, it says to hear the word of God in Romans 10:17. It says to believe what you hear in Acts 8:24. It says to repent of your sins in Acts 2:38. It says to confess Christ in Romans 10:9-10. And it says to submit to baptism for spiritual circumcision to contact the blood of Christ in Colossians 2:11-13 and Romans 6:3-4. And then you'll be added to the Lord's church, His body. And you know what? When you preach these type of lessons, people get angry about it. But brethren, if you could show me that there's another way, if you're here and you belong to a man-made denomination, if you could show me in the Bible what you did and others that did exactly what you did, and that added you to that body, that added you to the Lord's church, and I'll recant what I said. But brethren, it's just not in there. The only church that I read about in the Bible is the Lord's. I don't read about any other church. And you know what? God has strict terms. And even being a member of the Lord's church, you've got to remain faithful. If you become unfaithful, you can lose your inheritance. Let me ask you a question. Did the children of Israel lose their inheritance? Yes, they did. They were placed into captivity. Why? Because they became unfaithful. If you become unfaithful, you have to repent. And you have to turn back and pray to God that He would forgive you. Being a Christian is not a free ride. You have to be faithful. Now, brethren and friend, I know that's narrow. But I didn't write the book. I'm not the Lord. I'm just His messenger. I'm just telling you that God's book is right and man's thinking is wrong. But you know what? That's a decision you got to make. That's a choice you have to make. And instead of, you know what I try to tell people when I, and this happens a lot overseas, because I talk to a lot of people that are in other churches. And you know what I ask them to do? I said, after you get over being mad at me, check out what I said. Open the book and read it for yourself and see if I misinterpreted it. See if it doesn't say what I just told you it said. And then if it does, then it's up to you what you would do. You can reject it. That's your prerogative. But you reject it with the consequences that come with it. That's what God gives every man the right to do. Accept it or reject it. We hope you'll accept it. And if we can help you in any way, we're here to do so as together we stand as we sing.